Good evening. It's Friday. It is 7:30, so it can only be one thing. It is time for the Arsenal Women's Show. We have got a good show lined up for you tonight, of course. We'll be looking back on last weekend's brilliant victory away at Brighton. Of course, last night there was a game as well in the Continental Cup, which wasn't quite such a good performance, but we got the win. So we'll look at that. We'll talk about the late goals as well that we've been scoring this season, so many of them as well, and the key to that, the reason behind that. And also, as well, of course, there is a game on Sunday, a really big game, the last one before the international break. West Ham are at Meadow Park. So loads and loads to get through. It's all going to be coming up for you the other side of this. So it's the Arsenal Women's Show, the original and still the best one on YouTube. We've got Gunnar down in the chat with my friend. He says, good evening all, and yourself as well. He says, we should keep an eye on Molly Pike from Southampton. She was all over the place last night. Yeah, she played well. We'll talk about that game, obviously, a little bit later on as well. Now, just before we start, we've got a little bit of news for you.
Hello, good evening, everybody. This is Andreas. Yeah, first of all, I'm sorry that I can't be with you live on Friday for the show, but I'm flying to London right during the show. So I will be at Meadow Park on Sunday for the West Ham match. First time back at Meadow Park, so I'm really looking forward to this match. And of course, there will be a match day vlog, as always, with the atmosphere at Meadow Park from me. But I can't let you alone in the show without my thoughts to all these interesting subjects and everything that happened.
So, yeah, as Andrea said there, he can't be with us live, of course, due to, I say, he's probably in the air right at this moment as we speak, actually, on the plane, flying over to London for the game on Sunday, of course, against West Ham. So he's got some videos he sent us to go through all the different subjects that we're going to be talking about. So we'll go through them as well as we go through the show. And, of course, joining us at his usual time will be Amar as well. We know what time he tends to get here. So we will enjoy Amar's company as well. So there's only one place really to start, isn't it? Going, rewinding back to last Sunday, and what turned out to be in the end a very, very decent away victory. You know, no away game in the WSL was ever easy, is it? You know, it's so competitive this season, the league in particular. Brighton came on the back of two decent results as well against two of the top teams. So it was always going to be tricky, wasn't it? It was never going to be a straightforward go there and win 4-5-0. Yes, it ended up 3-0, and that looks to be a comfortable victory. But it certainly wasn't a comfortable game, was it? We had to work really, really hard for that win. And of course, once again, we'll come on to the late goals a little bit later. But it was certainly a goal towards the end of that game to make it a more comfortable victory, wasn't it? Because it was 1-0 for ages. Brighton had one or two moments as well, didn't they? And I say it certainly wasn't an easy game, but what we're starting to show is a real togetherness in the team now, aren't we? You can see things are starting to gel, and I liked the starting lineup with Steena and Alessia Russo both starting the game, and I thought that worked pretty well. Steena gives that threat in behind, doesn't she, with her running in behind the defence, and obviously Alessia is quite happy to drop deep, link the play, and of course she did some great defensive work as well, didn't she? So overall, I think we've all got to be reasonably satisfied with the performance overall. Yes, it wasn't a brilliant, free-flowing game. It certainly wasn't anywhere near the levels of the second half against Leicester, but that was because Brighton set up a lot differently, didn't they? They were always going to try and keep it tight. They were never going to really open up to us, and we had to kind of take the game to them. The early goal helped, didn't it? Steena's rather strange goal, a missed kick, and then a brilliant finish, actually, wasn't it? Tipped it over the keeper straight afterwards. So that sort of settled us down, but we needed that second goal, didn't we? Quite clearly. I mean, we said it on the show during the game, how desperate we needed that second goal. And in the end, it came late, didn't it? Another great finish from Caitlin. And then, of course, right at the end in stoppage time, we could have got two more, couldn't we? Because Frieda scored that great goal. And then Chloe Lacasse had set up Frieda's goal, a lovely little layoff, then had a big chance herself, didn't she, to get a fourth goal. And I think 4-0 would have massively flattered us, let's be honest. I mean, 3-0 probably does slightly. We weren't a better team. We deserved to win. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a decent away performance. And, you know, we got the victory in the end. And I think that's all any of us could hope for. And I did say last week on the show, didn't I? A few people didn't agree with me. I said that we'd keep a clean sheet, and we did keep a clean sheet. And, you know, we had to work for that clean sheet as well. I thought it was a good defensive performance, actually, which was good, wasn't it? Terry's in the chat. How are you doing, Terry? Good to see you, my friend. He says, evening, Richard, Dan, all in the chat. And Dan just says hi to Terry. Loki's in as well, my friend. Good to see you. Hope you are all doing really well. So anyway, let's have a listen to, and Andreas got, we've had to, I broke this down into a couple of little sections. So first of all, Andreas is going to obviously go on to the what he thought of the atmosphere, actually, for the away fans at Brighton.
So let's look back on the Brighton away match. Yeah, I have to look at my notes. Yeah, dominant performance, especially second half, and I think we all can be very satisfied with the match, with the results, with the way we won 3-0, clean sheet. Yeah, that's really good. And so where to start with? Yeah, let me start with the away crowd. It's unbelievable, the support our girls get from our fans, from the away fans. I saw it on TV, and the only fans I heard were the Arsenal fans. The Arsenal chants, the songs, We've Got McCabe, or She's Red, She's White, She Loves the Vegemite, Caitlin Ford, Cooney, Cross, 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 fantastic, fantastic away support. It felt like a home match.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right, isn't he? The atmosphere this season in the games, you know, has been amazing. And Arsenal away fans, you know, are filling out stadiums, and the crowds of the Arsenal games are a lot higher than any other team, and that's because of our away fans that's going to all the games. And as well, as Andreas rightly said, the noise that they're making, the support they're giving the team is quite amazing, isn't it, to see? It really is. It really is fantastic. And I do think, you know, the players have mentioned it. Jonas mentioned it, didn't he, in his press conference today. Leah Walty mentioned it the other night as well in her interview as well, how important the crowd have been and lifting the team when we've had difficult moments in games. Pretty much every game we've had a difficult sort of spells, haven't we, in all the games. And, you know, the fact that the fans are there and pushing us on. And, of course, coming up soon is the Chelsea game at the Emirates. There's 50,000 tickets already sold, so we're expecting another sellout for that as well. And, I mean, it is incredible the turnaround that there's been in the crowd that's coming to the games now. And it's such a great thing to be happening to women's football. But, I mean, the issue is now, isn't it? You know, we've got Meadow Park. Obviously, we're at Meadow Park on Sunday. That holds, what, 4,000, maybe 3,500 at a push. You know, a lot more people than that want to watch the games. Now, people are saying, well, let's put all the games at the Emirates, and that would be amazing. But the problem is, a lot of the games at the Emirates, a lot against some of the other teams, aren't going to sell enough tickets, are they, to maybe justify playing them all in that stadium. And I do like Meadow Park, and I do think Meadow Park's a great home for the team. It's just obviously, we've kind of outgrown it very quickly, haven't we? You know, it wasn't that long ago where it was easy. You could rock up on the day, just pay and go in, and there was no problem. And that was a year and a half ago. And it shows how quickly things have changed now. You know, you've got to get tickets in advance. All the games are selling out. And it's become a lot more difficult, isn't it? And obviously it has to be, I suppose, you want to try and get as many. While things are like this, and it's going to grow, women's football's not going to go backwards from this point, is it? You know, the crowds are going to gradually get higher and higher everywhere, I think. And the grounds are going to, we're going to have to play in the grounds that's going to suit it all. So it's a little bit of a dilemma at the minute. I think we're tied in at Meadow Park for another couple of years or so, aren't we, with the contract that we've got with Boreham Wood. So it's not like we can just dump Meadow Park completely. But I do feel over the next year or two seasons, there's going to be a lot more games played at the Emirates. And if we keep selling 40, 50,000, 60,000 tickets, well, I mean, there's every chance that it will become the permanent home. And I think that would be good, wouldn't it? But at the moment, it's kind of, it's still a little bit of a transitional period, isn't it? You know, we're starting to get bigger crowds. The support has been incredible. Over the last year or so, we've all seen it. if anyone's been to any of the games, you'd see the massive change in the atmosphere to maybe what it was 2 years ago. And I say it's not just in the number of people that's at the games. Of course, that's increased, but it's also to do with the support now that the girls are getting. I mean, I can remember going to games, say as recently as maybe 2 years ago, and although there was quite a few people there, you didn't really get a lot of chanting and singing from the crowd. It was fairly quiet. It was more like a sort of a Sunday morning kind of atmosphere in a way. And you can see the difference that it's changed, hasn't it? And it's great now. And long may it continue. And Andreas is absolutely right. And it's right to be pointed out. I say the players, it's lifting the players, and you can see the difference it's making in every single game. And say that the players are saying the away games feel like home games, and they do. And it's going to be like that everywhere because we've got the biggest fan base. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge the other night. They played this. I know there was restrictions on the number of people they could have in the ground anyway. But even if, you know, when they played a game in the WSL a couple of weeks ago against Liverpool, you know, they didn't get anywhere near the sort of, they can't generate anywhere near the sort of crowds Arsenal can. We've got the best support in, certainly in England, and you know, there's not many teams in Europe that could match our support, I don't think. So, you know, all the ingredients are there, and it's great that it's being recognised of how important it is to the team. You know, the fans are recognising it. The players are recognising it, and you can and Jonas is recognising it. And I think that the way forward now is going to be eventually they need to be played in bigger stadiums more regularly. It's obvious because the games at Meadow Park it's more and more difficult to get tickets for. So they need to get, while people want to see the games, they've got to try and find a way to make it happen. But yeah, we are stuck at Boreham. We're not that that's a bad thing. I say it's a great little ground, but there's going to become more of an issue with trying to get tickets for the games, because once the Chelsea game's played, there's only what, Man United and there's one more, isn't there? What's the other one? I can't remember. That's at the Emirates after Chelsea, and then all the others are at Meadow Park, unless there's an FA Cup game that we get, or a semi-final with a Continental Cup or something like that, that they may put into the Emirates. All the other games are going to be at Meadow Park now going forward. We've only got a couple left at the Emirates. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a problem, isn't it? It's a good problem to have. We've got a lot of fans, and it's great that we have. So, but yeah, the support of the team is incredible at the minute, and this season in particular has been fantastic. Where are we? We've got a couple of comments in, actually. Let's just have a look here. Terry says, I agree, Dan. Molly Pike, who played last night, was head and shoulders Southampton's best player. Yeah, she's played in the WSL before, hasn't she? I think so. You know, she's a great player. There's no doubt about that. Dan says, I bought a Marmite Christmas jumper today for Good Friday. Spread some happiness for Christmas. I'm not sure Marmite is going to spread a lot of happiness, my friend. But anyway, it's the thought that counts, isn't it? Terry says, what time chat do we think 8 o'clock MR will turn up tonight? Let's all have a guess. Dan's got 8.15. That's not good, is it? Terry says, no faith. Terry says, 2,000 out of 5,000 were cameramen at Chelsea. Yeah, I think they probably were, yeah. And another 2,000 were fans of Paris, weren't they? So anyway. But yeah, I mean, you can clearly see there's only one team in this country, that women's team, that's got the support, and that's us. So anyway, we're wondering about what time Amar was going to get here. And there's the RC question. Look, he's here now. Here we go. Good evening, Amar. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yourself? How's you been getting on? Good?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. We've just been obviously talking about the Brighton game. I mean, I'd say Andreas has sent some videos in, so we'll listen to his talks. But he wanted to talk about the atmosphere there, in, you know, from the away fans. And I do feel as though there's been a massive shift, hasn't there, in the last year or so, 18 months maybe, in the way that the crowd are now getting behind the team. You know, there's a lot more chanting of the players' names and songs that there never really used to be. It used to be fairly quiet in the games, didn't it? A couple of years ago, and now it's really changed, and it's great, isn't it, now, the atmosphere?
Yeah, I just think when it was with Joe, I mean, you did have the odd chances. Did nothing to do with the previous manager, but since the Women's World Cup in France in 2019, and then you follow on from that, the Euros last year, especially since the Euros last year, and now the World Cup this year, they've just been taken to another level, and the way they girls have been playing, whether on international duty or just been watching from home, they've just been, it's almost as if the fans have just fall in love with the team once again. And whereas, like with the, I mean, maybe something similar could be said about the men's team as well, with Southgate, for example, with England. But it does up for debate. But yeah, no, it's just shown. I mean, look at our fans, and our fans are the best. And look, There was even a tweet I saw earlier. It was talking about the exact same thing in a group I'm part of on Facebook, which I'm not sure if you're part of. But yeah, they're saying that there was more attendance for the game at St Mary's for the Conti Cup last night than Chelsea had at home for the 5-1 win over Liverpool at Stamford Bridge last season, which is just incredible when you think about it. I don't know whether it's to do with the ticket pricing. Yes, I mean, they're champions of England, but I mean, I think I've read, I don't know how true it is, but I just think they charge an extortionate amount for their tickets. And away fans is not, I don't know how similar it is there, but we're reasonable when it comes to that. They don't tend to follow Chelsea's path, and even though they're champions of England, you feel like Arsenal have the best fans because of the measures they're taking and the subsidized travel, if that's the case, they provide for the support. So no, it's really good to see, and long may it continue. And as you saw with Brighton last week, I think that was their highest attendance at the Broadfield Stadium. So then lastly, that was down to us as well. So I mean, it's up for debate, but I mean, maybe other clubs should follow similar examples in that thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that Arsenal have really handled the growth in the women's team really well. Actually, you said, they're keeping the ticket prices low, which is helping more people want to come anyway. More people able to come, which is great for the games at the Emirates in particular. And yeah, I think you're right. I think Arsenal have taken this really seriously, and I'm not so sure. And I think maybe one of the reasons why Emma Hayes is leaving Chelsea is because maybe she doesn't feel as though the Chelsea team club in general are maybe giving the women's team as much backing as she feels that it deserves or they should be getting. And maybe you can see the difference in the way Arsenal are dealing with, you know, and that's right about the attendance, you know, in the WSL game at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea can't get anywhere near the sort of numbers that Arsenal can get at the Emirates. And like you said, last night's game in the Continental Cup, yes, there was cheap tickets, Southampton put on a big event because it was a big game for them. But even so, you wouldn't expect Southampton against Arsenal in a Continental Cup group game. Then Chelsea playing Liverpool in the WSL. It makes no sense, but that's what's happened. And it just goes to show, if you market it properly, if you put your ticket price properly, you're gonna sell a lot more tickets, and it's gonna lead to a better atmosphere. And Arsenal handled this really, really well. And you've got to give massive credit to the club for the way that they've dealt with it all and the way they're handling it. And hopefully they won't get greedy as it gets more and more popular. They won't start at the Emirates. I'm hoping that doesn't happen because, you know, they've done so well with it so far, and it's created this brilliant atmosphere, and it's created a real buzz around the women's team now. You know, a lot more people are interested in it. A lot more people want to come to the games, and it's brilliant, and it's great to see it. And you're right, Arsenal are the team. You know, Chelsea might have been, for the last few years, Chelsea have been more successful on the pitch. There's no doubt about that. We hold our hands up. Fair play. They've won the league and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know,
yeah, and I think historically, obviously, we've got a history because of, you know, we were by far, and we still are, the most successful club ever in the history of the game. But we've always, we'll always have that fan base anyway on that basis. But whether we're winning stuff on the pitch or not, doesn't matter. We'll always have that. And you can see it now as it's growing. We're the team that's driving it forward. We're the ones that's selling out the tickets. We're the ones that's filling away stands. In ground, we know we're given allocations now at away games because they know how many Arsenal fans are coming. This is a new thing that never used to happen. You used to have to buy tickets off the home club and sit where you liked and create a little end. Whereas now they're giving us a section in the grounds because they know how many fans we're bringing. And you know, it shows what a massive, massive part of women's football Arsenal are. And hopefully, we can build on it.
Definitely.
And then back to the Brighton game itself, Andreas. And some thoughts about the team lineup and also obviously the performance as well.
Okay, then the team itself, for me, playoff match could only be Lotta or Kyra. I think with Lotta we now have again a boss in defense. It's a point that I criticized on her, that I said she's not the leader in this defense. She needs someone near her who organizes everything. And this has changed in the last 3-4 matches. She got two Player of the Match awards, and I think she was really, really good in Brighton again. And my impression is she knows she's not a Leah Williamson. Nobody is. But she's trying to play the Leah style. For me, I have the impression she has a lot of self-confidence in defense. She's She's now really the boss of defense, and she's trying to do a lot for the build-up. Her long passes and everything. She's involved in the build-up. I think Lotta has made big steps in this season, and I hope she'll get a chance from Serena for the Lionesses. And Kyra, what can I say? Wow, just wow. 21 years young and such a fantastic player, such a talented player, and dominating in midfield. The way she organizes everything, she wins the ball back. Her passes, her eyes for her teammates. That's just fantastic. And just think back about 1 year ago, missing Lia Valti and Kim Little in the same match. I think we would have really be concerned, and it would have bad influence on our match, on our midfield. And now we are missing Lia and Kim, and now we have Kyra, we have Vicky Pelova. It's great to have such talented young midfield players. And as far as Kyra is concerned, I can only say I'm so happy that we signed her and didn't wait until her contract was running out in Sweden. I think we'll see a lot more from Kyra during this season. It's just fantastic how she develops. And Alessia Russo in a new role, more a number 10 role, but just a great match from her again. I think she's running her socks off, and the way how she protects the ball, how she keeps the ball, and then her passes, the way she sees where the space is for Stina, it's just great. And then remember this tackle, this clearance in first half in the own box, just preventing Brighton from the equalizer. This was just fantastic, and this shows what Jonas said. She's working so hard. It's not only goal scoring. Of course, we all want Leslie to score more goals, but the way she plays and works for the team, and her work rate is just great, and I'm really really satisfied with her performance.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the only thing missing, isn't it, from Leslie's game is the goals at the minute. You know, she's only scored one in about 8 games or something, hasn't she? Which was that goal against Leicester. And yes, we would like to see her scoring more goals. Of course we would. We paid a lot of money for her. we didn't. We're going to pay a lot of money for her in January. We didn't have to in the end. But she's such an important player that you almost do want to see her scoring more goals. But I've heard a comparison with Gabriel Jesus mentioned with the men's team, you know, a player who does so much for the team but doesn't score enough goals. But the difference is with the women's team is we've got Stina, who does score the goals and is, you know, maybe benefiting from sometimes the work that Alessia's doing. But I would like to see her scoring more goals. I mean, I don't know if you heard Jonas's press conference today. He was talking about Alessia Russo and Stina. And he actually said, and I don't know whether or not he was being totally honest and serious, but he said he thinks Russo is the best finisher he's ever worked with. No. I find that quite an astonishing statement when you look at some of the players that we've had. I mean, Viv, for example, is at the club, best at the club. He's worked with, you know, obviously Stina. And I find it quite amazing. That was an amazing statement to me. I mean, do you think that's true? I mean, she's not having lots and lots of chances. She's not missing loads of chances, is she? But she's had one or two that she hasn't converted. I don't think she's the best finisher we've got at the club now, let alone the best finisher Jonas has worked with. I mean, I thought that was a little bit over the top. I don't know if he's saying that to try and ease a bit of pressure on her. What did you make of that?
I didn't really hear the press conference itself. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think maybe he knows. We know what an exceptional talent she is. So it doesn't take anyone to work out what a talent she is. And it's her first season. We need to give her time. I know people may have been harsh on her for that chance. Can I just say as well about Vicky Pelova, that turn and almost wonderful ball in. If Leslie had scored that turn was divine. Honestly, I was such a brilliant piece of skill. Vic, thank goodness. Because I heard that she might have gone off injured. Thank goodness I saw somewhere she wasn't. But that would have been just showed her those two are like clockwork. Even sorry, I'll go back to the Russo point in a minute, but they it's like they know each other inside out. Even Vicky's spoken about Les in a joking way and when she was learning her fancy English and all that. But it's like they go on like clockwork. They know each other's games inside out. But no, going back to that, it's an interesting one when you've got Beth and Viv and I mean Caitlin, even Steph as well. I mean, they're all great finishers. But I know he knows the potential that she definitely has. Whether or not she's the best finisher remains to be seen. Okay, one goal in 8 games is possibly not the return you're after. But I don't think it's give her time, because look at who she's coming up against and having to maybe displace in the team. So there's that added pressure of playing for Arsenal, having come from Manchester United. I wouldn't say maybe a club that has more ambition, but certainly has shown in the transfer market its prowess. And over time, I think she will become the best finisher. At the moment, the stats may not suggest it, but she is getting those chances. The tracking back's great. I mean, she's even getting assists. Look at the assist she set up for Caitlin against Leicester. The role she played in that beautiful third goal against Brighton, which was a work of art. She's getting there. She's absolutely getting there. And she'll only continue to get better when the players are around her.
Yeah, she will. And I've got no real issue with how Alessia's playing. I think she's playing well. And I think she's contributed a lot to the games. I'm maybe a little bit surprised that she started, I think, every game, hasn't she, in the WSL this season. Really? And she was last night. I know Stina had a little bit of an injury last night, but she's starting nearly every game. And, you know, Stina is sort of being in and out of the team a little bit. Yeah. If she starts, she gets taken off, or she's coming on later in the game. And I'm a little bit surprised that he hasn't maybe rotated those two a little bit more. But I can understand why, to a sense, because Alessia does offer more to the team overall. I mean, Stina, I think, is a better striker, centre-forward, if you like, running in behind. And I think she's a very good finisher. You know, she's got 6 goals this season from quarter of the minutes that Alessia has played. Mm. And she's really clinical this season. And, I don't know this. I'd just like to see Alessia scoring more goals, that's all. You know, we've got her in the team. She's basically playing centre-forward most games. And I think she needs to be scoring more than she is. But we can't complain. Her work rate's phenomenal. And as Andrea said there, that tackle that she made in the penalty area when it was 1-0, I mean, that was a big moment. That could have been the equaliser for Brighton, and it made it a different game. So, you know, that just sums her up, really, doesn't it? And I mean, obviously, Andreas mentioned Lotta as well. And I think that, you know, for me, Lotta at the minute is playing the most consistently good football that she's ever played for. You know, I've always felt with Lotta that she had lacks of concentration during games. She'd make mistakes quite often, although she was a very good player. But she seems to have really improved that side of the game now. And every week now, it's almost like she's so consistent with her performance, isn't she? She's, you know, defensively, she's much better than she was. And as Andrea said, she's trying to start attacking her passing, bringing the ball out from defence now. She seems to be having a lot of confidence. And she's matured, hasn't she, as a player? I think that's what it is. Always been immature as a person, but now as a player as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's starting to show some. I think the turning point for me was a game against Man City. That was arguably our best performance overall as a season, especially defensively, when you think how much the goals we conceded. Okay, we should have crossed into the box, but it was a little bit unlucky the way it fell to her, and it took a deflection past Manu. But you know, a lot of the goals we conceded prior to that were down to defensive errors. There was still that one moment, I don't know if it was in the first half, where she was out-muscled and Manu had to just make a save to prevent the ball from sneaking in the corner. But other than that, I think she looked pretty solid. And even though you could see Katie gave her the armband at the end, it was thoroughly deserved. She's a great player, and playing alongside, I think she's actually finally starting to blossom alongside Amanda as well. And even when Rafa and Leo were injured last season, she stepped alongside Steph. And having someone alongside like that, and even players who are naturally comfortable in that position, whether it be Leo, whether it now be Amanda or Steph, whoever's played there, she's definitely getting there. And she's only having those players alongside is only going to make her better and continue to make her better. So whether or not she continues to be the first choice centre back when Leah and Laura's more of a right back, when the Leah certainly fit again, maybe you could play those two together. But no, she's definitely getting there. And you have to remember, I think she's still only, 23, 24? So, I mean, it's good to see. And hopefully she can build on that, those performances against Man City which for me, as I said, was the best defensive performance we've had this season. So, good luck to her, and hopefully she can continue to improve along with those more experienced players beside her.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the point about getting more minutes for England as well, I think that's, she deserves that now. I could kind of, before, especially when Leah was playing, you know, and you've got Millie Bright, who's obviously going to play every single game at the back, Leah Williamson, and even when they played Leah in midfield, and, you know, you've got Alex Greenwood to come in, and there's competition for those centre-back places for England. And I maybe looked at it and thought, well, yeah, maybe those are, you know, as good as Lotta was playing for us, I kind of felt that maybe those other players were better than Lotta, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing on Lotta. They're very good players, aren't they? You know, winners of European Championships, you know, World Cup finalists and stuff like that. They've won a lot of trophies. But I think this season, what I've noticed is, I say, she's cut out the lapses in concentration. She's been so consistent. You know, she could have got player of the match three or four games this season already, I think, with the way she's played. And she now, she, to me, she, I mean, Millie Bright apparently is out of the England squad anyway, isn't she?
Yes, because of a knee injury, that's right.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see whether or not Serena put some faith in Lotta in those games, or whether she sticks with maybe Alex Greenwood and Jess Carter, who you've been the kind of the next players along the list after Millie Bright. So I'm hoping she gets some time, like, she deserves it now for me. She deserves to be playing for the Lionesses in these next two games because of how well she's played for us on a regular, consistent basis now. So let's see what happens. But yeah, you need to give her a shout out because she's been brilliant. And yeah, of course, as well, Andreas mentioned, of course, Kyra Cooney-Cross, who's only just come into the team. And what an impact she's made. Two player of match performances in a row. I didn't think she was our best player at Brighton, if I'm honest. I thought Vicky Paloga was actually probably our best player. But it was a tough one because Kyra played well, obviously. She played well against Leicester as well. She's come into the team and almost like now, you can't leave her out, can we? Because what an impact she's made. Two games, brilliant.
No, exactly, yeah. She's been great, and even she speaks so maturely for a 21-year-old as well. It's like, again, she's been playing for, not for 21 years, but for almost double that in a way. I mean, everyone picked her out during the summer as a key player for Australia, playing alongside Caitlin, and Steph has only made her get better. And she even talked about in that post-match interview, Leah Walty and Kim Little as well, and with the squad she has around her, and you know the depth now, and quality, and she has in training, she's only going to get better. I think she's shown well in two games. It's still very, a bit too early to say, but she's shown that in when the great Leah Walty, hopefully not yet anyway, but she's still got a lot to give. But when even if she plays alongside her, sometimes alongside Kim, it remains to be seen going forward. But she's shown that she can be Leo's natural successor going forward. And it was good for us to get her on deadline day when she'd been strongly linked with Chelsea. Not that Chelsea needed to add to her, but it's good that after missing out on somebody like Jelena Cankovic, who was so strongly linked with us last year, and to get Kyra Cooney-Cross, okay, maybe they're different players, but you could already sense that maybe we didn't really miss out too much on Cankovic, and our recruitment instead in getting the likes of Plover and Cooney-Cross has arguably been better than Chelsea's in that regard. So yeah, hopefully it'll continue, and the acid test will be in 2 weeks, but for the time being, I think you'll find a lot of fans who are happy with what we've got, and long may it continue.
Yeah, and that young midfielder, Vicky and Kyra, it looks to be quite exciting going forward, doesn't it? You know, because they are both very young. They are both going to get better and better as well. And as Andrea said there, you know, last season when Kim and Leah didn't play, Leah Walty, we looked really vulnerable in midfield, didn't we? So many games, that was a problem. We looked at it and thought, wow, you know, this is a big issue. And suddenly now we've got these two young girls who have come in and been absolutely brilliant. And suddenly it's like, well, if Kim's injured, okay, yeah, we miss Kim. Of course we do. But it's not such a big problem for the team now. If Leah Walty can't play, it's not such a big issue for the team because we've got these two can come in and do that job that they've done in the last couple of games. It's been brilliant. And the future looks very, very bright in that sense. And I say, obviously, we've already spoke about the attacking talent that we've got. So, suddenly 2/3 of the team are looking really strong and solid. Yes, there's still defensive issues, which we'll come on to, but... just brilliant. Andreas has got a little bit more to talk about in the Brighton game as well. It was quite a long video, so I broke it down into little sections. Andreas's last bit on Brighton, so let's get that before we move on.
Vicky Paloga, I already said she's just great in midfield. And Stina, once again, thumbs up for her runs, and she's always a threat for the opposite defense. And once again, she scored. Of course, she she missed the first chance, but then just fantastic goal from her. And I think it's four matches, four goals now in a row for her. Of course, Caitlin was strong again. I like the way she's winning the ball back. She's keeping the ball possession and her runs on the wing. Yeah. Chloe came in. She had a big impact. Her pace is just impressive. And the unselfishness for the third goal, when she gifted this goal to Frieda. Just great. Frieda, I think, is slowly coming back to normal. It takes still some time to see her at the same level like last season, but she's progressing. The same for Beth. She had two big opportunities, and I think it's only a matter of time until she scores again. But now she had 65 minutes, a start again, and 65 minutes on the pitch. It's good to see her, have her back. So, yeah, I'm talking too much, I know. but it was a really good match. And to sum it up, we missed Kim and Leah, but we didn't miss because of the performance level from Kyra and Vicky. And this is a great sign for the squad depth we had. Stina and Lassie, this works together. Probably not in every match, but especially in away matches, I think, when there is space for Stina's runs and Lassie creates situations. Then another fact we shouldn't forget, Lotta took over the captain's armband after 65 minutes when Katie was subbed off. And I'm sure this must have been an extremely proud moment for Lotta, lifelong Gunner, and she's always so proud to wear the Arsenal badge and to represent the badge. And now being captain of this side must have been extremely proud moment for her. So, yeah, congratulations, Lotta. And finally, three goals scored, three different goal scorers again. We had six goals scored in Leicester with six different goal scorers. Now three. This shows we have extremely quality and in our squad, and every player is such a threat and such a danger for the oppositions, for the opposition side. So they cannot say, oh, let's take care of Stina Blackstenius, or let's take care of Alessia Russo, or of Beth Mead, or of Chloe Lacasse, or of Caitlin Ford. Every player from us who's on the pitch is able to score, and this is a very strong sign. Gives us hope for the next matches. So all in all, 3-0, 3 points, fantastic match. I'm really satisfied. Now let's hope for a good Continental Cup match, and my comments will follow for this. Thank you.
Hey, he's not waffling. What's he talking about? He's not waffling.
Oh, hang on. Where's
I was going to say he's not waffling.
No, I sort of broke it down into three sections. Just to break it up so that we could talk about what he was talking about in between times. But yeah, I mean, it was a good performance overall. And I said at the beginning, any away win in the WSL these days is a good win, because there is no technically easy games anymore. You've got to work hard to win every game. And, you know, to go to Brighton, who are on good form, and to come away with a 3-0. And again, three different goal scorers. And that is interesting, isn't it? Because apart from Katie McCabe, who scored those two goals against Bristol City, we haven't had a player score more than once in a game, apart from that time this season. And that's strange, isn't it? Because normally you'd expect, one of your forward players at least to have scored a couple of goals here and there in different games. But just that one, Katie McCabe, the two goals that she scored. Other than that, we've had every game that, you know, one different goal scorers, two, three, four, or six different goal scorers at Leicester. And I think it is a good sign, isn't it? It shows the depth that we've got, the quality and depth. We can bring players off the bench and coming on scoring goals, setting up goals. The players that start games are scoring goals. It's a good position to be in, isn't it, really?
Yeah, sorry. So I was just looking at some of the comments in the chat and seeing what they said about the game. But no, I agree with most of what's being said in the chat. And the goals are spread out. I was actually working out the other day. Okay, we scored, I think, something like, we'd only scored six in the first five games or something. In the last two, we scored nine now. And I think it's something like 13 different goal scorers. Well, Steele scored four, and they've been spread out now. And it just goes to show that our squad depth is really good, which is what was needed to compete with Chelsea and other teams like Man City and Man United and get closer to the title. And it is good to see the goals being spread out. We like that. And Amanda even scored her first goal last night. And, it's unlike the goalies who score goals, they're there to keep them out. But, yeah, no, it's good. And even if the players who are starting don't score, as we know, it's about how you finish the game. And we finished strongly in Caden as well with that classic Caden finish and Frida scoring game with that lovely move. You could easily have had more. And the only real scare was when they had the effort from a corner, again, from a cross into the box, which still seems to be a bit of a pattern which hasn't, as of yet anyway, been rectified, but hopefully will be going forward. But no, the threat going forward is great. And it, as I said, it's a great dilemma. You have eight forward players who are equally as capable and have proven so in the game time that they've been given. It's great. And hopefully continues that way. And we continue to keep terrorising defences going forward, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows a good spirit in the squad as well, that even the players that aren't starting games are coming on and looking to make an impact. And so many times in so many games that's happened, hasn't it? Players have come off the bench and have made a massive influence on the game. And I think that just goes to show, doesn't it, that the squad are all together in this. It's been great that the goals are spread around, because we're not relying on one or two players to get all the goals as some teams do. Our goals are spread around at the minute, and it's great. And it would be nice to have, your centre forward scoring a few more, I suppose. But Steen has been doing well lately in the goal fight, hasn't she? So we can't really grumble too much about that. And of course, after Brighton last night, there was a game in the Continental Cup, which proved to be a little bit more tricky than maybe we were anticipating it might have been. And of course, as you mentioned there, Amanda got her first goal. And once again, you see, it comes back to a point I was going to talk about anyway, which is the late goals. Now, if we include the two Champions League qualifying games, we've played 11 games this season in all competitions, and we've scored 10 goals in from 88th minute onwards. 10 goals in 11 games. That is incredible, isn't it? I mean, just madness. And we've done it again last night. Amanda's had our 92nd minute, whatever it was, to win the game. And I mean, it's mad to think how many late goals. I mean, I think it's 1, 2, 3. The last five games, we've scored a goal in the 88th minute or later. And, most of those goals are coming in stoppage time, aren't they? I think it shows again the spirit that this team have got. And the fact we've got this quality coming off the bench as well. A lot of the players who are getting these late goals, I know obviously Amanda started the game, but generally it's the players coming off the bench, isn't it, that are getting these late goals, because they're adding something extra to the team and giving the other team more to think about. I mean, I don't think I've ever known a season where a team has got this many late goals. Like 11 games, 10 goals that late in a game is incredible. And apart from the game against Aston Villa, when there was obviously two in stoppage time, they come in every game. We score a late goal nearly every game. But it's great.
Madness. Yeah, no, I was going through it as well. My goodness, if you think about it, since, what was it, Manchester United? Yeah, so I don't want to go through them. Manchester United, 94th minute, or that was an absolute banger and thoroughly deserved to win goal of the month, by the way. That brought Chloe Lucas into the limelight, and she's got a better sense. She's become a very key player for us going forward. And again, it's a dilemma for the manager to have going forward, whether you keep starting her. And then again, Man City, 86th minute, is quite a bit outplayed. Two in injury time against Villa. One, was only the only one. We scored six in the second half against Leicester. I think Mikel Hurtig scored early time. Yesterday against Southampton the only game I think we didn't was against Bristol. So, it's not, it's great. I don't know whether it's to do with extra added time, but it's good to have those options on the bench. And you make the most of it sometimes. I mean, of course, we'd like them to make life a lot easier for us going forward, so we don't have to rely on them scoring all these late goals, and they don't have to put us through put our heart rates through the roof sometimes. But you have to, even though it's happening, it's not just in the WSL. It's happening. If you think about it, how many times in the Premier League have we seen the season with all this excess added time? It's not maybe not largely down to VAR, but it's just since the World Cup last year, the added time has gone through the roof in terms of, you never know. I thought against Man City with the, for example, when the supporter got taken ill, and thankfully they've recovered now, which was good to see. But I thought it was going to be 20 added minutes, and I thought, oh no, we're going to maybe concede again here, or something else is going to happen. But I mean, it may not be great for the game, and for the players having worked hard to hold on to it, having done the hard work and still have all the added time to see through. Well, I suppose it's great for us because it means that despite the fact they may not have played well, like we've seen on so many occasions this season, they still have that time to get the result. So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a pattern going forward, but I mean, to change the added time. But I mean, yeah, hopefully in games, maybe they'll start putting opponents to bed a little bit earlier. But who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But it's great to see. And it's as I say, it's about how you finish the game, not how you start it.
It is, yeah. And I mean, not all, yes, I mean, a lot of the goals have been important goals. Like you said, Chloe Lacasse's goal at Man United got us a point. Those two against Aston Villa turned no points into three. You know, you had the Steiner goal against Man City was, 88th minute. I know there was loads of stoppage time afterwards, but it was the 88th minute of the game. And, you know, we've had a few, and obviously last night, I mean, obviously you had Lina Hersey's goal at Leicester and Frieda's at Brighton were both kind of...
Caitlin was 80th as well.
Yeah, they were sealing the victory. It wasn't like they were the crucial winning goals or equalisers. But yeah, the fact that we're going all the way to the end of the game, not sometimes 96, 97, 98 minutes, some of the games have been, and we're still looking a threat and we're still likely to score goals at the end. And I think that shows, one, the quality and depth that we've got, which we've spoken about. And also, I say, this mentality that the team have got. And even, you know, last night's game, I agree with what Greg said there. He said, I thought we were slow and lethargic last night. Yeah, we were. I thought we were. And I think maybe, I wouldn't say we underestimated Southampton, because I don't think we would have done. I think the preparation that goes into games, we didn't underestimate them, but I think they maybe played better than we was expecting them to play. They gave everything last night, Southampton. I think we've got to give them credit as well. I wouldn't necessarily blame it just on our performance. Yeah, we didn't play that well, I agree. And we were very slow in the fight. But I think Southampton created that by the way that they played. I thought they played really well. They're doing well in the Championship anyway. They're one of
the
get promoted. So it's not like they're a terrible
team. No pushovers.
No, they played well. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. But again, we go behind and we don't panic. We don't think, oh my God, we're going to go behind. No, we just come back. We got the equaliser. And then obviously at the end, we left it late, but we got the winning goal. And it's so important. In the end, that's going to be so important, that goal, because looking at the way the group is, us and Tottenham, looks like we look like we're going to go through potentially. But had we dropped points last night, you know, Tottenham's the next game. If we drop points there as well, suddenly we could find ourselves getting knocked out of this competition that we won last year. So it was. Dan says there, D'Angelo had a great game. I thought she did okay. She made a couple of good saves, actually. But there was other times when I thought a couple of things bounced off her that she should have held. And I don't know, she just had a few shaky moments. But she did okay. Yeah, I wasn't worried about her performance. Terry says there, my only worry is we should have been 4 or 5 up yesterday before we scored at the death. We need to take more of our chances. Yeah, we had a few good chances, I agree. We wasn't as clinical as we needed to be. But I say, I want to give credit to Southampton because I thought they played well last night and I thought they made it difficult for us. And you could see they were lifted by the crowd and playing at St Mary's as well. It was a great occasion for them. And we mentioned them earlier on the show, didn't we? Molly Pike had a great game. She did for Southampton. She scored a great goal and she looked really good. So Greg said there, too many players were trying to do too much on the ball. Yeah, I think sometimes we didn't move it quickly enough. I agree. But in the end, we've got the quality, haven't we? Dan says it was a hell of a goal from them. It was a brilliant goal. Yeah, I say Molly Pike, great strike. Tip the keeper. No one saving that, are they? A great goal. But yeah, the good thing was we went behind and we showed that character and quality to come back. And of course, Frieda got the first goal, and that's what 3 and 4 games for her now. You know, we were saying that we're a bit worried about her performance. Obviously, Andreas mentioned her before in the Brighton game, and she does seem to be getting back to what we expect from Frieda. You know, she's scoring goals now as well, which I think is important because that was such a big part of her game last season, wasn't it? And I thought her performance last night was okay, actually. She played well. You know, no one was outstanding last night. Obviously, it was a below par performance, but I thought Frieda played all right. I think she took her goal well. And yeah, I just think it's the quality and the belief that we seem to have now. And, you know, a lot of changes to the team. It was always going to be tough to produce the same level of performance with a different team, wasn't it? But yeah, we got the job done, didn't we, ultimately? And that's what matters.
Yeah, it was. That is what matters. I mean, we had to go through penalty shootout and we lose out on bonus point, because if you see how it works, yeah, we'll get 1.4 winning a shootout. That's not worked out to our benefit in the past. It's good we still finish games. I mean, it's good that even though it's good quality to have, as we always know, even if you don't play well and still find a way to win. We said on many occasions this season, they haven't always played it, but they always find they have that resilience about them. The squad has always been resilient, almost been inspired by those injuries last season going forward. As you've seen, I'm sure those of you that have seen the documentary, how much it's just inspired. It's almost put an added fire in those players' bellies that they just want to keep going regardless. And it's great to see across the club as a whole that they just keep going until the game is over. They never absolutely, which you shouldn't, was the number one no-no in sport is give in. And they have that. It's been instilled into them, whether it be from the men's team, from Jonas, I don't know. But it's great to see. And yeah, sure, hopefully it'll continue. And okay, we didn't play well. As I said, we found a way to win. And the changes I thought we made were good. And I doubt, okay, Russo maybe starting was a little bit surprising, but then maybe that's an indicator for West Ham going forward that she may not start that game. Viv got half an hour as well, which is good to see. Beth, I don't think Beth came on, did she?
No, she didn't, no.
No, so then maybe that's an indicator. Maybe we want to start her again like she did against Brighton, and she looked solid. So, yeah, we expect better. We can't maybe expect them to play well for the whole game. But it's, as I said, it's about how you finish the game, and they seem to be finishing it strongly. And going forward, that's a great asset to have. Okay, maybe against the big bargains, teams like Chelsea won't always work, but you know, it's good to see. And hopefully, along with the performance levels, they can continue to do that going forward.
Yeah, and it was good to see Amanda finally get a goal, because we saw in the World Cup what a threat she is from set pieces, and she hadn't been any threat from any set piece up until now. And then last night, at the last minute when we needed her, it was a good corner in actually, and it was from Frieda actually again, and it was a good header put right into the corner, and no goalkeeper saving that. So it was good to finally see her get a goal. Hopefully she might add a few more in now. Going forward with a bit of luck. Terry says, come on, Richard, as if we're going to lose to Spurs. Well, of course, we don't expect to lose to Spurs, do we? But who knows? Anything can happen. I don't want to risk getting knocked out by them, do we? That's the issue, isn't it? We shouldn't lose, obviously. And obviously, you know, the game last night, and obviously Andreas watched it. So let's see what Andreas made of the game last night against Southampton.
Yeah, hello, everybody. So, Conti Cup away at Southampton. We came away with a 2-1 win, but I have to say, this shouldn't be our normal level that we play against the championship side. Not even one of the top teams from championship, and we just win in stoppage time 2-1. I'm a bit disappointed, and I think, this is not our level. But in the end, the 3 points are counting, and we've got now 6 points after two matches, and still everything is possible. But I really want to go through this group stage and continue our journey in Conti Cup. Because we are the title holders, we have to defend this trophy, and I think the Conti Cup is worth playing for it. I remember the final last season; it was just fantastic, and I couldn't see the match; it was not broadcasted in Germany, so I could only follow it on live ticker, and what can I say? 9 changes. I think this is too much. Yeah, you need a few players that are in every match. And I think between 5 and 7 changes for a Conti Cup match, okay. But 9 Nine changes, that's nearly the whole team, Jonas, changed. And yeah, as I said, I couldn't see the match, but as far as I read and the comments that I read were that nothing got really together in the team, and our passing was poor, and we didn't create enough chances. So, yeah, maybe we should start every game with 1-0 down, and yeah, maybe start in the 70th minute or so, because the most of our goals we are scoring in stoppage time. Anyway, I saw the two goals in just short highlights. So the first one was a nice shot from Frieda. It's good to have Frieda on the score sheet again. And the second one, well, it was not a World Cup match, but although Amanda scored like it was World Cup for her. A corner and a header from Amanda in stoppage time, well, we've got the win. So let's move on and let's say, okay, 6 points, let's continue. We have to beat Spurs. And yeah, we are playing at Meadow Park against Spurs in Conti Cup, so we should be able to beat them, and maybe, yeah, let's get a better fitting lineup for this match. But of course, first task is West Ham on Sunday. Let's move on. A win is a win. Come on, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a win's a win, and that's all that matters. I've said this all along. The performance is, sometimes the performance is secondary, isn't it? The result is what matters. If you win the game, if you haven't played well, you can think, well, does it matter too much? It only matters if you're playing badly on a regular basis, because eventually you're not going to keep winning, are you? You know, we've had a couple of decent performances away from home, and that was always going to be a tricky game. You know, some people were saying, oh, we were going to win 5-8-0 and all this kind of. I think I said 5-0 last week, actually, but I don't think I was totally serious.
You keep saying double figure scores.
I thought it was going to be a difficult game, actually. I did think it would be a decent team, and I knew they'd rise to the occasion at the ground. And yeah, we didn't play well, and that's down to us, and we could have played better. Greg says there, it's a good header, but still getting caught out of the back. Obviously, talk about Amanda. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I still think she's maybe settling into the WSL a little bit and settling into new teammates and stuff. But yeah, I think she's got to be better defensively. But it was good to finally see her get a goal. And of course, if we want to look, obviously, we mentioned Molly Pike a couple of times. It was a great goal. But I think we do have to say, and I know Terry won't like it, but Jen Beattie looked like she had the turning circle of the QE2, didn't she? She really looked slow getting across, and it was far too easy.
I agree.
And I think, you know, and this is playing against Championship team, you know, and I think this is what I felt last season. I was worried that if Jen Beattie had to play, that this was going to happen, because we'd seen it in the FA Cup final against Chelsea. We'd seen it when she'd had to play before, and I'm thinking, that worried me. But actually last season, as it turned out, at the end when she had to play, she really rose to the occasion, and she was brilliant in those games, you know, and she did really, really well, and I wasn't too worried. And obviously last night for that goal, you're thinking, that's more the Jen Beattie that I was expecting that we would get now, because, you know, she is past her best, you know, she'd reached the end of her career, we all know that, and it's no disrespect to her, she's been a brilliant player for us. But yeah, that wasn't, I would be worried now looking at that again, to think that if she has to play regularly in the WSL for any period of time, due to injuries, could be in a little bit of trouble. But she won't. She shouldn't have to, because we've got plenty of cover then, haven't we? With Leia, Amanda now, Lotta, Leah's coming back after Christmas. So, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. But yeah, that did worry me a little bit, the ease in which they scored. She allowed them to get the shot away. But yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And we got the job done, and we won the game. And as Andreas rightly said, you know, put that behind us. We've got 6 points out of six in the group, and we move on and put that one. We're not going to, at the end of the season, even if we win the Continental Cup again, we're not going to look back at that game at Southampton and think, oh, do you remember that win at Southampton? We're not going to remember that game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We won it. We've got the 6 points, and hopefully we'll end up going through and going and progressing through the cup again, which is what we want to see. But yeah, it wasn't a great performance. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't easy to watch. Did you manage to watch it, Emma, or not? Because I know it was quite tricky and all that kind of stuff.
I know, sorry, I was just saying, Terry, it's funny, and it's actually, so you lot are only picking Super Gen because of me. But no, it's just, sorry, just because I don't stand up. And this is not, you know, she is, you can see it in the past. She has made a few mistakes in the past. Okay, she rose to the occasion Super Gen last season, but she would definitely say, okay, I'll maybe not blame her too much, but I agree, maybe Sabrina's positioning could have been better for the goal as well. She stayed on the line, maybe that lob doesn't happen. Okay, you have to give credit to the strike as well. But no, I wasn't able to watch it. I think the only way you could have watched it was by paying £2 to subscribe to their player. But for one game, when if you don't support Southampton, it's not really worth it. But I was able to watch the highlights, comprehensive highlights of the game after. And okay, the commentary was terrible. I don't know, a lot of people are saying on Facebook, I don't know, he called the commentator, and I don't know who it was, but he called Stina Blackstenius by her first name, Emma, and instead of saying Miedema, he said Modemar or something weird like that. Well, I don't know if you heard it, but the commentary wasn't great. It sounded like he'd never done proper commentary before. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, okay, it's not like we're playing Champions League, but to play 4 days and then 3 days. The game, okay, you have the international breaks, but a lot of players play for their countries, and you can see it's... whilst you don't want to risk the players being burned out, you have to put a team out and still play the games. And it's maybe telling in the performances because of the schedule. And... the schedule, as we know, is demanding, and I don't know if that's going to change. Maybe it's down to the various organisations to make it easier for the players rather than the risk them being burnt out. But it seems as if they're intent on burning them out more. But we move on. Ultimately, you can only do what's put out in front of you, and wins are wins, ultimately.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, I kind of disagree with that a little bit when he said about the number of changes in. You make a lot of changes to the team. It's always going to lead to a bit more of a disjointed performance because you're getting players playing alongside each other that aren't really used to playing together in games, in training, but not in games. But having said that, we've got a big squad now, and we're not in Europe. We've got to use the squad, and if we don't use them in the Continental Cup, we don't want to make 9 changes in the WSL game, the next WSL game, do we? We need to make those changes. Yeah, we want to do as well. Of course we do. We want to win the cup. Of course we do, but.
Yeah,
utilize the squad that we've got, and I thought Jonas actually did that pretty well last night. I wasn't too when I saw the team lineup. I don't think Alessia Russo would have played had Stina been fit. Stina had a little injury and she wasn't in the squad. I think if Stina had been fit, Stina would have played. Alessia would have got a rest as she did against Bristol City in the last game in the competition. So, I wasn't too bothered about the team lineup. It's a good team, they're quality players, there's no problem there. I wasn't worried. We didn't play particularly well. That was a bit of a problem. But again, Andreas is right. If you make all that many changes, you're not going to play your best game, are you? Probably because too many changes in one go. But we have to make use of the squad. We've got to. And this is an opportunity for someone like Katrina Cole, for example, get her game time, play. That was good for her to get on and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, obviously Viv got minutes as well, which is important for getting her back fit again and getting her back playing. It is what it is, and I expected the changes. We had the changes. It didn't really work to a certain degree, but we got the job done. We got the win, and that's all you can do. Win every game. That's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's going to defeat what's important,
Exactly. Greg says it was a pain to watch getting on their website. Yeah, absolutely it was, yeah.
£2? I mean, why would you put £2 just for one game? I wouldn't anyway.
No, I'd be stupid. Terry says, I watched it.
How did you do that? I bet he's lying. He's lying.
It may have been Spanish commentary. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. It's possible. I do feel as though Arsenal should have streamed that on Arsenal's website.
It's difficult with away games, isn't it? I mean, with the Spurs game in December, because, we played them, I believe it's twice in the space of 4 days. I'm not sure. I know the league game is away at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That's going to be televised. As far as the Continental Cup game is concerned, if it's at home, let me just double check on the schedule. That is at home. So they should be televising the Conti Cup game as well. So it is disappointing. But I mean, if you can't, I don't know. Away games in particular are difficult, especially when, you know, we've got Champions League games going on around you. And it's understandable, fine. But I mean, if we're going to make it live, then yeah, I suppose they have to charge. I mean, you can't stream it to everyone for free and they take people to take advantage of it. So it was just disappointing, and who knows, the same may have happen with the final group game against Reading in January. But ultimately they have to do what they have to do, and And if people are willing to pay the fee, then that's up to them. But if it's just for one game and you have to subscribe to a team you don't support, then is it really worth it? It makes you think, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll say I wasn't really happy about the whole situation with it last night. Greg said, it didn't even make it easy to watch it from the Southampton site either. And it's like, I don't know, it's the Continental Cup, right? It's not the Champions League. It's not the WSL. I'm not saying it's not important. It is important. We are holding a competition. It's an important competition. But, you know, that should be streamed for free. Whether the FA player should be streaming it, both the competing teams should stream it on their website to their fans or whatever it is. It should be free. You know, you can watch games for free in the Champions League on DAZN YouTube.
Very true.
£2 to watch a Continental Cup game. That's, a championship ground. Well,
yeah,
Premier League ground in terms of it being... I know Southampton in the Championship as well, aren't they? So it's a championship ground, and we're having to pay for that, and you can watch Champions League for free. It doesn't seem... It seems strange to me last night. I thought that was all wrong. I thought Arsenal should have tried more to get
in. Yeah, I agree.
You've got to send somebody there. You need a camera. You need a commentator. You need people to do it, edit it, and, you know, produce it and all that kind of stuff. I know it's difficult. But anyway, it's... I thought... It should have been free last night to everybody. Anybody who wanted to watch it should have been able to watch it for free. It should have been maybe FA player should have been maybe the solution to it.
That's the thing. But I agree with you there, and I completely agree with what you're saying. The thing is, though, with FA player, and when it comes to Conti Carp, we know in the WSL they're going to provide radio commentary. Okay, why didn't they try to at least provide something like that so we can at least follow the game? If they can't provide live stream. I believe Liverpool versus Manchester United was the live game this week, and that was on Wednesday. I mean, if there's games going on under the week, maybe pick one game or at least provide some commentary in that sense, because in the past, it's free for everybody. The quality isn't always as good as we've seen in the past. So, I mean, I don't know if that will ever change, but I mean, ultimately, it's also down to the clubs to provide that for the fans that are eager to follow their stars every game, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, and we've been saying about how much the game's growing, women's football's growing in this country in particular, and yet you've got a game like that that should be free to watch, and a lot of people that wanting to watch it haven't got access to be able to watch it without paying Southampton £2. As you said, it was pointless paying Southampton £2 for one game that you're never going to watch one of their games again, unless we happen to play them in the FA Cup or whatever. But yeah, it just seemed. I don't know. I didn't like that. It should have been available to everybody to watch. That the whole women's football is going to grow if more and more people got access to watch the games, and that's what needs. That's why, you know, Sky have got involved. It's led to more crowds coming to the games. More games are accessible to watch. The more people want to watch them. So there was a mistake last night. It was badly handled. It should have been free, and it wasn't. And you know, Southampton trying to make the most of it, I guess, because it's a one-off game for them playing against one of the best teams in the world. So. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We won the game, I suppose. It doesn't matter too much. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed with the fact that it wasn't free to watch and it wasn't easy to watch. And I don't think that should be right. You know, we understood maybe 4 or 5 years ago some of these games, you couldn't watch them at all. But you understood that because of the way women's football was then. But as it is now, we should have to be scratching around to try and find a way to watch a game. They should all be, if they're not shown anywhere else, Arsenal should show them. Anyway, that's that game. We won, and as Andreas said there, probably, you know, we won the game, and that's all that matters. 7 wins in a row is fantastic, and we need to say, right, okay, brilliant, we've won the game, and move on, because we have to move on, because on Sunday, coming around really quickly, we've got another really, really, really important game at Meadow Park, which Andreas is actually on the way to fly to at the moment, which is why he's not here. So yeah, West Ham, of course, at Meadow Park. West Ham, who are struggling this season, you know, they're what, second from bottom, aren't they? One win, what, 5?
They're really struggling. So they're bang out.
They are really struggling, yeah. And I don't like to think that, oh well, because they're struggling, we should win easily, because that isn't often how football works, as we've seen plenty of times before. But I think at Meadow Park, it's a different kettle of fish to play. I think playing at the Emirates can be tricky for us, and I think that's been shown. At Meadow Park, we're very, very difficult to beat at Meadow Park. And I think, you know, it's maybe coming at a good time for us, this game. We're on a good run of results. We're winning games. We're scoring goals. And West Ham are struggling. And, you know, it's probably... And it's just before the international break as well. So we've got another chance to go off to the international break with... I mean, 8 wins in a row going into that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And You know, if you're going to pick a team at the moment to play a home game against, you'd look at the league and think, who would you want to play at the moment? Let's play a team that can't win a game. And that this would be one of the teams that we would probably pick, although they've got quality in their team, and I'm sure their results. I've not seen too much of West Ham this season, but looking at their results, looking at the players they've got, surely that can't be the case of them just not being very good. I think they've maybe been unlucky in one or two games, one or two incidents. They was unlucky to lose last week, for example. So, what are you thinking then for West Ham in our minds? You think, obviously, we're going to be favourites to win, aren't we? But it's not going to be an easy game again, is it? It's definitely not.
No, as I said, no game is easy in a WSL, regardless of whether teams are out of form. You know, this is a team that we have struggled to be in the past. Remember, in the title-winning season, even though we went on to win the title, we still had to come back from behind, win 4-2. This is a team that's definitely made it difficult for us. 4-3 as well, the same season. In their very first season, I can forget, they scored 5 goals against us. Okay, no, the games have been a little bit more one-sided since then. 4-0, you had a 9-1 in there, which was unbelievable. If you remember last season as well, you had to come back from a defensive error, and possibly they could have had a penalty as well when the score was 1-0. But we had to come back from behind, and they're not an easy pushover. I did feel a bit of a surprise that somebody of Rhiann Skinner's quality, the way she's managed at Spurs and turned them into a really difficult team to beat before Robert Wilhelm and, excuse my pronunciation, before the current manager, whose name I can't pronounce, took over. I tried to give him my best go. I do apologise if I offended any Finnish people out there, which wasn't my intention. But you can't, just because you can't take anything for granted in this league. No one expected us to lose to Liverpool in the first game. And look, Chelsea go and beat them 5-1, it makes you think, was that just a one-off? And look at the form we're in now. So, shocks do happen. Leicester also draw with Man United. So, whilst we never underestimate them, I feel relatively confident that having the players who didn't play in the Conte Cup, having had a week off before this game, should be able to get the job done in front of that expectant crowd at Meadow Park. And whilst I can never... they have got good players, but you saw, again, defensively so vulnerable. Then Bristol City, they scored a late goal just to get a draw against Liverpool at home. Well beaten by Chelsea. Okay, put up a good fight. They do score goals going forward. They have got good players, but they're just not gelling at the moment. And defensively, they look very vulnerable at the back, as you saw with the late goal they conceded against. Late goals they've conceded against both Bristol and particularly Aston Villa. So whilst I'm taking nothing for granted, I'm backing our team to come good. Hopefully, it won't be left until the last quarter of the game this time to kill this game off. Hopefully, we can put in a full 90-minute performance, which we haven't, apart from possibly the Man City game, seen all season. So, I'm actually feeling relatively confident on this one. And I think the form West Ham are in, they just... maybe they're not... how do I best put this? They do seem as if they are for the taking a bit, and they are really short of confidence. So I'm going to go for Arsenal to win 4-0.
Oh, 4-0. Wow. Gunnar Dan's gone 4-0 as well. So he's just as confident as you are, which is good to see. Terry says, we're smashing West Ham. Can't wait to hear your 2-1 or 3-1 close game rubbish. Well, now you see, Amar's gone 4-0. That's not close. Well, I mean, it's not a close game, is it? Terry says, I'm looking at least...
Typical Terry.
No, I don't think so, Terry. Terry says, West Ham
are worse than... Don't compare him to Kai Havertz.
Well, I don't know about 11 Havertz. But, I mean, West Ham aren't playing well at the moment. There's no doubt about that. They're really struggling, aren't they? And so I think it's a good time for us to be playing them. We're in good form. We seem to be getting... I know the other night, last night, we didn't play that well, but we look as though we're finally gelling as a team. We'll have a lot of the players who didn't play last night will be back in the team again. Another probably 8 or 9 changes we're assuming. So... I'm expecting a response to that performance. Greg says, if we play quick attacking 5-1, our defence still not solid. Yeah, I mean, we are conceding goals still. I know we did keep a clean sheet in our last WSL game, but and West Ham's strength is probably their attack as well, isn't it? Defensively, they're not that great. But anyway, let's see. I'll see what we'll do. Let's see what Andreas makes of this West Ham. Yeah, his predictions have been quite conservative this season. Let's see if he's any different in this one.
Oh. Hello again. So, next match. And in this time of season, it's after the match is before the next match. And the next one is West Ham on Sunday at Meadow Park. And for me, It's back at Meadow Park, the first time since April, I think. It was the Man City match in April, yeah. So what can we expect? What do we expect from this match on Sunday? Of course, a win. Nothing else than a win counts in the situation in which we are. We're chasing Chelsea. We need the 3 points. We need points in every match, but at least at home against a team bottom of the table. So yeah, a win is a must. And yeah, we are in an up situation, up period. We won our last matches. We scored a lot of goals, fortunately. And West Ham is in a down. Yeah, so. Let's face the situation, but don't underestimate West Ham. And I think we all remember the last match last season away at West Ham when we drew 0-0. And I remember we had a lot of chances, and Mackenzie Arnold, the goalkeeper from West Ham, she had the game of her life. She saved nearly everything. And yeah, this is the danger for the match again. I think they will have a very, very deep block. They will sit deep and wait for us to come, and they will try their faith in counter attacks. The only chance they have, because we have the better squad, the better team, and of course we will be dominating ball possession and we will create more chances. West Ham will try to defend as good as possible and use their one or two counter attacks they have. Yeah, let's see. We will see Lisa Evans back at Meadow Park. Yeah. But as much as we like Lisa, no points for you on Sunday.
No points
for Lisa. Exactly. That's what we're saying. Yeah, he has got a spot, but there's another little bit we'll put on in a minute. So, yeah, I mean, that's right. Obviously, West Ham aren't going to open up against us. They're going to get everyone behind the ball. They're going to make it difficult. They're going to try and shut the spaces down. And the onus is going to be on us to take the game to them, isn't it? And, you know, break them down. And sometimes we've struggled a little bit with that kind of team. So, I don't know. I'm obviously confident that we'll win, of course. I mean, you know, you've gone 4-0. There's been some 4-0s in the chat as well. Obviously, we know Terry's gone for like 8-0, 9-0, whatever he said.
Terry's gone 5-1. Greg has gone 5-1, but he still worries about our defence, so which is a fair point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Terry's gone. Havertz wouldn't even make the West Ham team. But that's because he wouldn't be allowed to play. You know, there's sort of rules in place where men can't play in a women's game, so he wouldn't be able to play anyway, would he? So he wouldn't make their team because he wouldn't be allowed. But no, I mean, yes, our defence does worry me still a little bit, but I'm a little bit more confident after last week's clean sheet. I think we may well keep a clean sheet this week.
Hopefully, actually, it'll be nice.
Yeah, I think we will. And I think we're playing at Meadow Park, so I think that we will win, obviously. And I think in the end, again, you see, what we're doing is we're making the substitutions, aren't we, in the last 20 minutes. Andrea said they don't leave it to the last 20 minutes, but what's happening is we're making those substitutions in the last 20 minutes. We're bringing on players like Steiner, or we're bringing on Frieda Marnham, or we're bringing on Viv, or we're bringing on Bev, and we're just scoring goals because they've got that, or Chloe, and they're coming on and creating havoc for the other team. And obviously the other team have defended for 80 minutes or 85 minutes. And obviously they're tired because of their defending so much. And then we've got extra quality to come on and get those late goals. And I wouldn't be surprised if we score two or three late goals in this game either, actually, to finish it off. I mean, I think hopefully we'll be one or two up already and we'll get a couple of late goals to seal it, really, as West Ham get tired and we bring our quality. I do like that 4-0, I must admit. I do like a 4-0. But as we've had a couple of 4-0s in already, so I'll go different. I'm gonna this might haunt me, but I'm gonna go 5-0.
Fair enough. No, I like it. It's good.
Yeah, I think we'll keep a clean sheet, and I do think obviously the forward players that we've got so much quality there, haven't we? And you know, we're getting goals from everywhere. So yeah, I'm gonna go 5-0, and it'll be a great way to go into the international break, won't it? 8 wins in a row and going off in great style. So let's see what happens, and let's let's see what Andreas's prediction is then, because we didn't get his prediction. So let's see what Andreas is going to predict for this game, because he's been going a lot of 2-1s lately, hasn't he? So let's see if it's going to be anything different today. Is he more optimistic this week? Let's have a look.
What do I expect for the lineup? I think Sabrina is out due to a personal reason, so not available. So Manu will be in goal. And in defense, I think we will see Noel, Lotta, Amanda and Steph. I expect the midfield. Jonas will line up with Leah Welty. If she's fit, then yeah, I think she is. Kim, I don't know whether she's on the bench available or whether she can start. I would prefer personally to give Kyra another start, because she fitted in so good and she had good performances, and then player of the match last Sunday. So I would start Kyra. And then I think Vicky Pelova will also start, and Katie in a role, so offensive midfield or left wing. And then Caitlin, Leslie. It's more a Leslie match than a Stina match, because when they sit deep and with a deep block, there will not be enough space for Stina for her runs. But with our offensive power from the bank, from the bench, we have Beth, we have Chloe, Frieda. So normally we should be able to break that defense and to score. My score prediction is the same as last week. I say 3-1 again for us, because I don't trust our defense to keep another clean sheet. So if West Ham gets one or two corners, then we will concede one, but we will be able to score. And I'll say 3-1 for us and 3 points. That's the most important thing. So let's see. And if Wi-Fi is working at Meadow Park, then I will try to join you at halftime with a few impressions, and of course with a match day vlog, the impressions before the match, the warm-up, etc. Looking forward to be at Meadow Park and to see the match. And if you see me, you recognize me, just say hello. I'll be there. Have a nice show. Bye bye.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so as I said, Andreas is going to be at Meadow Park on Sunday. So if you do see him, you can't miss him, because he's about 7'5". You'll definitely recognise him and definitely say hello. Although he's a big guy, he's a big friendly giant. So don't worry about that. You know, So if you do see him in the ground or around about the game on the Sunday, say hello. Be nice. I'm sure he'd be pleased to meet you also. But yeah, I mean, so he's gone 3-1. I mean, that's fair enough, isn't it? I do think that we may well concede a goal. I'm going to be confident to say we won't, but it wouldn't surprise me if we do, just because that seems to be what's happened most of the season. But yeah, is it more of an Alessia game, a centre forward, or is it more of a Stina game? I mean, that's a good point that's made there, because when it is a low block, Stina's good at running into space behind. If a team's got a low block, there's not that much space for her to work in behind. So maybe she might be beneficial coming off the bench later on in the game, maybe when we're in front and there's a bit more space for her. Or maybe her running off the ball is going to pull defenders apart and maybe create space for someone else, maybe Frieda making a run or Kate in forward or whatever it might be. And I mean, the good thing in a way, and I'm not necessarily saying it's a good thing always, but I haven't got a clue what the starting lineup's going to be on Sunday. Have you? Because I haven't got a clue. I know Andreas picked one, and he may well be right, but I haven't actually got a clue what Jonas is going to do.
No, I mean, it varies. I don't imagine he'll play any of the team that started the game yesterday. I'd be shocked if the likes of, say, Amanda, and or if it's Amanda Jen. I think it'll hopefully be Manu in goal. I mean, I can't imagine Chloe and let's play 45 minutes. Let's play 45 minutes. Chloe played 80. So I'm guessing the back line will be Maritz. Did Noel play for full game yesterday? I think she did as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tough one, isn't it? I know. I mean, obviously, you'd think he'd play Lotta in centre back, but who alongside? I mean, Amanda started the game. Oh, hold on. Did she come as a sub as well? I can't even remember now. But yeah,
she started with Leah Cadena.
Oh yeah, she did. That's right. Yeah. So then it'll be Lotta and who else? Who alongside? I don't know. So I mean, yeah. I mean, left back Steph started as well. Does he start with Hood? Or does he put her on the bench again? It's going to be extremely difficult. I mean, you'd expect Kyra to start. I think the front three, as I was saying in the chat to some people there, I think the front three will be something like Beth, Caitlin, and Stina, or possibly Katie on the left side, as she's proven. But as for the rest, if Kim's fit, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, but you'd expect Kyra to start. As for the defence, I mean, it's anyone's guess, really, isn't it?
It is. It is. I say at the moment, I can't even predict the lineup. I've got a feeling, actually, Katie McCabe might play right back again. You know, because Noel played a full game last night. Maybe she might need a rest, and he might put Katie McCabe in at right back, potentially. I think Lotta and Amanda probably will be the centre-backs, because that seems to be the lead centre back so far. I'd maybe, and obviously Steph left back midfield. Yeah, I think Kim may only be fit enough for the bench if she's fit enough for the bench, even. So then, does Leah Walty come in for Kyra? Probably not, because Kyra's playing well. Is it Leah Walty and Kyra? That's an option, maybe. But then Vicky Paloma's been playing well. It's like, what do you do there? And then in the forward positions, I mean, Frieda's been scoring goals, but I think she's maybe better coming off the bench at the minute, personally. Obviously, Viv's probably not ready to start. Beth, she didn't play at all last night, so I'm guessing she's probably going to start again on the right, you'd imagine. Probably Alessia at centre-forward, just because I think that's what Jonas will do. And then on the left, either if Katie McCabe doesn't play right-back, then I think what will happen is Caitlin Ford will obviously play left, or Katie McCabe will play there, depending if she plays right-back or not. So, we'll have to see. Terry says, Andreas, if you watch this show before Sunday, can you pick Jonas's quote for me? Well, he sits right behind Jonas, actually, so he might be able to pick it at half-time or something. I don't know. But it is a nice coat, you're right. I don't know if you'll wear that one tomorrow, though. He seems to have a different coat on every game lately, doesn't he? So I don't know if you'll wear that one again from the other week. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, who knows what the lineup will be? And it's good that we've got this many options, isn't it? It's good that we've got this many options that we don't know what the team is. Because last season, it was just who was fit. Whoever's fit played at the end of last season, that's where it was a case of. And this season, it's like, well, we've got so many options now. It's brilliant. And that's how it needs to be. As Jonas said today in his press conference, this is how you win big trophies. This is how you win the trophies, is by having a big squad. So you've got people to come in and replace people. You can rest players. You can bring quality off the bench, all that kind of stuff. And it's what we've got. And we've got two teams. We've got a starting team, as we said, and a finishing team. And the finishing team at the moment, it tends to be doing better because we're getting all the players. The starting team maybe not quite firing inside. We've only scored four goals in the first half in the WSL so far, which is mad. When you think we've scored 17 goals in total and we've only scored four of them in the first half of the games in the WSL. Yeah. It's something we need to work on, obviously. We need to score more goals in the first half. But when we've got that quality coming on, banging in all these late goals, winning seven games in a row, are we that bothered, really? Probably not. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I think in the end we'll get some late goals again Sunday, but I think it'll be reasonably comfortable in the end. I think we'll win. I'm going 5-0. I'm going to be confident. Let's go for some goals. Because you know, some of these tight games are not always good on the heart.
No,
the Leicester game was good second half. So let's repeat some of that second half against Leicester, and let's get a good victory and get a few goals and enjoy it, which is what it's all about, isn't it? So yeah, brilliant stuff. I mean, you know, we had to. There's a lot to get through there. Good for Andreas. So thanks, Andreas, for sending in the videos. Of course, that was brilliant to be able to add them into the show as well. He can't be with us live, but he's always with us if he's not here. But I say hopefully he might well have landed in London by now. I'm not sure what time his flight was. I can't remember. I know he was in the air while we were on the air at the start. So he may well have landed by now. He may well be on his way to his hotel with the red carpet treatment.
The royalty is there. And a glass of champagne, you know, a glass of beer.
His bottle of champagne in his room and all that kind of stuff. So, exactly. I'm sure he's going to have a great time, of course, as always. I say, if you do bump into Andreas on Sunday, do say hello. And as Andreas said there, we'll try and get him on the show at half-time if we can. I know sometimes the internet signal's not great, especially when there's a big crowd in, it can be difficult. But we'll see. If we can get him on, we will. We can give us some of the atmosphere. And, of course, look out for the vlog as well, which will go on the channel some point, probably Sunday evening. We'll get that for you, if not on Monday morning, depends on when I get all the videos through. So look out for that, because that'll be good. It's always good to get that little... I do love them vlogs, because what they do is they give people that wasn't at the game an opportunity to just experience what it was like inside the ground, the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. And it's great. So look out for that as well. And, of course, tomorrow I'll be back for the men's game, of course. Premier League's back. It seems like it's been away for ages, but it's back tomorrow, which is good. Looking forward to that. We've got the 5:30 game away at Brentford, so I'll be live at 5:15 for that one. So join me for that if you can. And, of course, Sunday, 2:00 kickoff, West Ham against Arsenal. So join me about 2:45 for that. It's going to be a great, great game as well. So big weekend. Hopefully two good Arsenal victories, what we want. Two London derbies as well, which is nice. So we look forward to that. Hopefully, I say the women can go into the international break with another win. And hopefully Chelsea might drop some points. That'd be nice if they did. Because obviously our first game back after the international break, as we all know, is actually Chelsea, isn't it? So, you know, it'd be nice to go into that game level on points, wouldn't it? But anyway, we'll see. Let's see what happens. Terry says, hope he didn't come in his own private jet this week. It's so windy here, he'll probably land in Cornwall. If he's coming in a helicopter, he'll probably land in Cornwall, because he'd get blown to Cornwall. But no, I'm sure his private jet would have been fine to get him to London. Not a problem at all. So thanks to Marcus for coming on again. Have you enjoyed the show?
Yeah, it's been good. It's not the same when it's without Andreas, but we send our regards to him. Hope you land safely. It's always good to get your perspective. Hopefully we'll be back with us soon. I should be able to watch the game on Sunday. I'm off to India for a couple of weeks on Sunday on Sunday. So hopefully before the airport, I'll be able to catch the game. But if not, then I can at least watch most of it. And that's come at a perfect time, because I actually come back the same day as the Chelsea game. And assuming I'm not too tired, I'll be able to watch that as well. So looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll get 3 points. Our players stay fit. And they continue to do so over the international break. So it's always good, and always good to get the opinions of our great fans. And I hope you guys continue to enjoy it as much as we do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously there won't be a show next Friday anyway, because the Lionesses are playing, of course. It's the Holland game next Friday, isn't it? So we'll be covering that game anyway. So there wouldn't be a show. There's no Arsenal women's game next weekend anyway, because of international break. So, and of course, the week after. If you're away that week, obviously I'm assuming Andreas will be flying back to London again for the Chelsea game. It's going to be a bit lonely, isn't it? I'm sure Andreas will send me some videos.
Maybe you could just do it early in the week, because I don't know if I'll, because as I said, I might be away. Maybe we could just do you and him, but who knows? Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, maybe we'll have a look and see what we can sort out for that. I'm sure Andreas will send videos if he can't be here anyway, so we can maybe do that. But we'll see. Or maybe Harry might be available to come on as well, or Matt potentially. Matt's not been around all season, actually. We're missing him, actually. I don't know what. I know he's busy and stuff like that. I'm sure he'll be back on the show at some point. And we'll see. Daz says there, we have an airport in Cornwall. It's 2 miles away from me. No, there is an airport in Cornwall. Is it?
He says it has the biggest runway in Europe.
Does it really? What are them little islands off Cornwall called? There's some little islands, isn't there, that you have to fly out to get to?
Oh, I know there's the Lizard Peninsula, but I don't know what the islands are called, but yeah.
Yeah, little islands. I've always wanted to go there, because I used to go to Cornwall.
St. Morgan. Apparently it's called St. Morgan.
Oh, so is that what it's called? Is it? Oh, well, you should know, mate. You're the expert on all things Cornwall. Yeah, St. Ives is actually inland. It's actually on the land. There's some islands, isn't there, out in the sea somewhere?
Right, yeah.
And I've always wanted to go there, because I say when I was a kid, we used to go to Cornwall quite a lot on holiday, and I used to love Cornwall. I think it's brilliant. And we always thought about going out to them islands, but we never did. And I'd like to go there actually one day. But anyway. We'll see, but now Cornwall's a lovely place. So if he has landed in Cornwall, it's a long way to go to Meadow Park from Cornwall. But if he has landed in Cornwall, it won't be too bad. It'll be freezing cold now, actually. But if you land there in the summer, if you go there in the summer, it's nice, because the weather's usually beautiful. It's a lovely place. There's some lovely beaches, and it's great. Terry says, "Great show again, Richard." And 8:00 MR. Well done, the chat.
7:40 today. 7:40 today.
Yeah, you was here at 7:45 today, which is good. Obviously, Amar's going away soon as well. So everyone's going away and leaving. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Terry says, a little island's called Europe. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's called Europe.
Yeah, it's really called Europe. Yeah.
It's the other way. It's not towards Europe. It's sort of, you go you know, a sort of pass call and keep going if you could, but obviously you can't. Danadana says St Ives, Ardy Islands. Is it St Ives? Is that not actually on mainland Cornwall, St Ives? I'm sure I've been there.
Possibly.
I've not been to Cornwall for years. I'll take your word for it. You're the expert. You live there. I remember going to St Ives once. I don't remember having to get a boat or anything, but maybe we did. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. Danadana says, yeah, have some Cornish beer. Yeah, well, Cornish. Is it not scrumpy cider now, Dan? I know that's Somerset, isn't it? Is there Cornish beer? Is there a special Cornish beer?
It's nice down in Cornwall. I haven't been in ages, but no, the scenery is good and it's a lovely part of the world. It's a bit far to travel sometimes, but it's good to go for the scenery.
Yeah, it's a long way, but it's worth it if it's nice weather. Dan says, yeah, it's near Land's End. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, Land's End's at the end, isn't it? Land's End's pretty much as far as you can go, isn't it? But I'm sure there is some islands out there somewhere in the sea somewhere, I'm sure. Anyway. I'll have a look. I may be going on holiday there one year, but I know there's an airport that you have to go from Cornwall and fly to these islands. Anyway, maybe it's just Europe, maybe it's just France. That's where you go. I don't know. Anyway, that has been the Arsenal Women's show for this week. So the weekend officially starts now. So whatever you're doing this weekend, enjoy yourself. It's a bit cold out there this weekend. It's going to be a bit chilly. So if you're out and about, wrap up warm. And if you're at the game on Sunday, wrap up warm. And enjoy the game, of course, it's going to be great. And I say hello to Andreas as well if you see him. He'll be happy to chat to you as well. So thanks all you guys for watching. Don't forget to give us a like as well before you go. If you're new, please subscribe. I will see you tomorrow for the men's game, 5:15. So join me for that. And of course, Sunday, 2:45, Arsenal Women against West Ham from Meadow Park. That's going to be good. And Andreas might be making an appearance on the show as well, which would be nice. Thanks to Elo as well. Obviously, we might not see you before you're away then, will we? Because you're away next week and we haven't got a show. So,
it might be difficult the week after. I'll try. Anyway, I'll try to follow the game as much as I can, keep in touch with the internationals. Hopefully, our players don't get injured. Yeah. And I think actually Gunnar Dan's made the popular. It's actually, I forgot. It's the Scilly Isles off the course of Cornwall. So you were right, Richard.
I think it is the Scilly Isles. Yeah, see, that's probably why it's suited to me. I'll be at home there, wouldn't I?
She breaks come at a good time. So as I said, yeah, I'll try to follow the international as I can. No, fingers crossed, our players don't get injured, and yeah, we can go into the break on the high end. Should be a good 2 weeks off. I'm looking forward to it. To be fair, I haven't been away in ages, so it'll be really good.
Yeah, no, it will be good, yeah. And it'll be a bit warmer there than it is here as well, which is
it's freezing here, my goodness, yeah.
It's freezing here, yeah, so I'd quite like to be going somewhere a bit warmer as well, but anyway. So have a good time in India. That's going to be good. We look forward to hearing your thoughts when you're back. So hopefully Andreas will be back as well at some point. So we won't have a women's show next week, but I'll say we'll be a Sunday for the watch-along anyway, so join us for that. I say thank you for watching, everyone. Thanks to the chat. Thanks to Andreas for the videos. Thanks to Amar for being here tonight as well. Terry says, Amar, have a great time. And don't forget, everyone stick of rock. Do they do rock in India? I don't know if they do. Do they? They
still rock in India? I think he was maybe talking about Cornwall. Who knows? I don't know.
No, you're not going to Cornwall. But anyway, yeah, have a good time. We'll see you all very soon. I will see you tomorrow for the men's game. If you want to watch that with me, that'd be great. If not, we'll see you Sunday. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon. Come on, you Gunners. Come on, you Gunners. Have a good weekend, guys. Have a good Friday. We'll see you hopefully tomorrow. Hello.
Hello. Take care, guys.